Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem, welcome back. Today's Daf is Yevamos Lamed Ches, and we're holding seven lines from the top of the Amud. We're picking up in the middle of yesterday's topic. We have a fellow who's called Safek. What happened was, the Yavam jumped into Yibam a bit too early. They didn't wait the 3 month required waiting period. So Reuven passed away, no children. Shimon jumped right in 2 months later, did Yibam. And what happened was that 7 months down the road, there's a child. He's a Safek, we don't know. Who's his father? Is he Shimon's 7 month baby, or perhaps Reuven's 9 month child? So today we're going to continue on the topic that we began yesterday. We're going to have questions regarding Yerusha, regarding rights to inherit certain properties. So we have Reuven, the departed fellow, Shimon, the Yavam, and this child, who we call Safek. Let's call him Levi. Today we're going to add another character to the story. The Saba, the grandfather. Let's call him Yaakov, father of both brothers, Reuven and Shimon. Says the Gemara, Safek v'yavam. You have Levi with the Yavam, Shimon, Shebo, Lachlik, v'nichsei Saba. Each one has a claim on Saba's properties. Yaakov passed away. Now, Shimon and this unknown, this Safek, will battle it out. How? Safek Amar, the Safek Levi, he says, Hi Gavra, this man, a reference to himself, Bar Misnahu, I am Reuven's child, perhaps, Upalga Didihu, and I get half the property in lieu of my father. You're meant to split it equally between yourself and my father Reuven, who's no longer here. I get that half. Shimon responds by saying, Ad broy didiat, get out of the way, you're my son. You have no rights to Saba's property. So what's the halach? Have a Yavam vaday. In this case, Mr. Yavam has an advantage, a great advantage, because he can point himself as a certain successor. He's certainly a Yerush of Saba. He certainly gets a part of the Nechasim due to the fact that he is a Yerush. This Safek, but this fellow Levi who's a Safek, he's only a Safek. His claim is in doubt. Is he Reuven's child, in which case he has a right to the property, or perhaps he's Shimon's child and he's shut out completely? So in this case, that Shimon, his claim is more substantiated. He is certainly a successor to Yaakov. Vein Safek, Moitzi Midei Vadei. We follow the general formula that a Safek can't prevail over a Vadei. Shimon has the upper hand. He gets everything. Next case. Safek Ubnei Yavam. Here it's a Safek battling with the children of Shimon. There's another couple of children, and they're fighting over what? Shebo Lachlik B'nichsei Saba. They want to divide Saba's properties. So both Reuven and Shimon are no longer living. And Saba passed away as well. We have some buildings. It's a battle between Shimon's, let's say his two children, and this Safek here. What's going on? Safek Amar, Hahu Gavra Bar Misnu. Look, I am the son of Reuven. Upalga Didiu. I have rights to 50% of Yaakov's Nechasim, because Reuven and Shimon should divide his properties equally. But the children of Shimon are claiming Achunat. What do you mean? You're one of us. You're our brother. Umansa islach bahadan. Sure. You can take a portion, just like us. So it's two of us plus you. Total of three. Each one gets a third of the property. Umansa. You have a mana, a share, an equal share. Islach bahadan. So what's the halacha? Pal godakam moidi luhu. Look. Let's break apart the question here. So 50%, even the Safek agrees, goes to them. He concedes on that. at most he's claiming 50%. 50 for his father Reuven, which gets passed over to him, and 50 to Shimon, which gets passed over to them. So 50% is uncontested. All agree it belongs to them. Shakli, they take them, without an argument. Likewise, Tilsa, a third of the property, the Kamoi Dulei, which they certainly agree belongs to him, even according to their claim, it's a total of three brothers, including him, trying to divide this 100%. So 33% certainly goes to him. Okay, so that's not part of the equation. Half to them, 33% to him. What's left over? A sixth of the property. Posh Luhudanka, we have a sixth left over, and that is split, because he has a claim to that. He says, I shouldn't just be given a third of the property, I should get half the property, including this sixth. A third and a sixth equal half. And they say, no, it belongs to us. So here is a case of a property, which whose owner is unknown, it's a safik, and they split it equally. What about Saba v'yavam b'nichsei safik? Let's switch it around. Saba is coming and having an argument with his son, Shimon, with respect to the properties of Levi, of the safik. What's going on? Mr. Yavam claims Levi is my child. When he passes away without any other Yerushim, it goes to me, the father. Saba says, no, what do you mean? Levi is my other son Shimon, Reuven's. He's Reuven's son. And in absence of anybody else, I get the properties. Oy Saba v'safik b'nichsi Yavam. Or the other way around, we have Yaakov, the grandfather, together with the safik, having a discussion regarding the nechasim of Shimon. Mr. Safik says, well, I'm his son. I'm Shimon's son. I get all his properties. I get priority. Son is Yerush before a grandfather. Mr. Saba says, what do you mean? You're Reuven's child. Shimon's properties I get, for lack of other children. Here's another case of a Safik Mammon. We divided 50-50. Okay, so in summation we have four cases. In the first we had the Safik and the Yavam discussing the Nechasim of grandfather. The din is that Yavam is Zeicha because he has the upper hand. He is certainly considered a Yerush of the grandfather. And the Safik is only a Safik. And therefore, Ein Safik Moitzi Midei Vada. Safik and the children of Shimon are discussing the Nechasim of Saba. We divide it as follows. 50% go to them. A third of the entire property goes to him. The rest, they split up. What about if Saba and Yavam are discussing the Nechasim of the Safik? Likewise, if Saba and the Safik are discussing the Nechasim of Yavam, once again, Yachleku. Says the Mishnah, Shemeris Yavam, a Yavama who is awaiting Yivam, Shenaf lo Nechasim. So at that point, suddenly, properties arrive. She's Yairish, Nechasim, she got some properties. What happens now? So typically, if this happens to a married woman, that is what we call Nechasim HaNechnasim VaYotzim Ima. Another term for them is Nechse Melug, properties where the principal belongs to her, but the payrois go to the husband. It's like Kamas Chacham. That's if she's a married woman. Here she's not yet married to him. She's anticipating Yibum. Rashi says, Mam tenes, or Metzapel Yavam. But at this point, she's still Yavam. Does the Yavam have any rights to her properties? Moidim b'shame b'sil, all agree in this case, no machlekes. It's hers. Shemecheres, v'nesenes, v'kayim. She can sell, she can gift the nechasim, and it's perfectly valid. He has no right to interfere. Mesa, let's say she passes away in that state of Shemeres Yavam, before the Yivam actually took place. What happens now? What happens to her properties? What happens to the Kesuva? In this case, Kesuva means the monetary obligation between man and woman, between husband and wife. 100 or 200 zuz, depending on, you know, what happened. But the bottom line is, there's some obligation, there's some properties and financial obligations here. So what happens to these things? Who has rights to these things? Ma yase or ma yase b'ksuvasa ubenachasim anechnasin v'yoytz nima. What do we do with her ksuva money? Who gets that? You see, she passed away in a pre-yibum state. So Yavam, potential Yavam at least, Shimon claims, look, she was already 1 foot into my family. She's like my wife. I have rights to these things. I want to keep the ksuba money. I don't want to pay it out. And I want to get rights to her properties. It's like a husband. It's Yerush's wife. Her family, her father's family, turned to the Yavam. He says, well, what are you talking about? There was no Yibam here. She's part of our family. We get her properties. We are Yerush her Nechasim. What happens? We have Machlekes. They split it, divided equally. Each one has a valid claim. She belongs to us, she belongs to you. So make a split. Yerushi Habal, im Yerushi Av. So her husband, meaning Reuven's Yerushim, which is basically Shimon the Yavam, splits it with the Yerushi Av, with her family. No, we follow the Chazaka concept. Nechasim b'chazkasam, we leave the properties and the rights and the claims and everything in the chazaka, in the hands of those who are in possession of these things. Which means, when it comes to the kesuva, the monetary obligation, the payout described in the kesuva, well, that's at this point as yet unpaid. So who's holding on to that? Becheskas Yeshua Baal. That goes to the husband's family because it's still in his possession. As opposed to nechasim and nechnasim, v'yotzin ima, the properties that she bring along to the marriage, that is technically hers, and therefore we deem it becheskas yerushiav. We leave it in the hands of our family. This is all because she was a shemeres yavam. No yibum took place, but konsel. If Shimon the yavam actually does yibum, harei kishtel chodava, she's treated like his ordinary wife. And all the halachis and privileges and rights apply here as well. Ublavad, there's one exception. Shtei ksuva, who pays the ksuva money? Let's say he divorces or she becomes a widow. Where did that money come from? Al nichse bal harishon. Ideally, if there's money left behind from Reuven, her former husband, so that money is used to pay the ksuva. But otherwise, she's an ordinary isha. Now, if we take a look at the Mishnah, we'll find a discrepancy between Reisha and Seifa. In the Reisha, we have a case of Shemeres Yavam, where we say, there's no machlokes. Beshamay, Beisilal, all agree. It's unanimous that she can have full rights to the Nechasim. She can sell, she can do what she wants. The potential Yavam has no right to interfere. Whereas in the Seifa, where she passed away, under similar circumstances, it was still pre-Yibam. She was a Shemeres Yavam with properties. What happens there? Big machlokes. Going to be Shammai, you split it. Going to be Sil, you work with Chazak. Asks the Gemara, what's the difference? Maishna Reisha delay pligi. Why is it that in the Reisha there's no machlokes? We give her the rights. U Maishna Seifa the pligi. But the next part of the mission is the whole machlokes going on. What is the difference? The cases seem to be identical. It's basically one question. How do we treat a Yavama before the Yibam? Amar Ula, there's a difference, a slight difference. Reisha, in the first part of the Mishnah, the Nafla, Kishihi Arusa. She became a Yavama after having just been engaged to a previous husband who passed away without children. In which case, he didn't really acquire all the rights that a husband would acquire. And therefore, we give her more rights. The Sefer, whereas in the Sefer, we're speaking Shtenafla Kishi Nesua. She became a Yavama after having been married to her former husband who passed away without children. And therefore, husband has more rights when she's already married. Now here we're not speaking about a husband and wife relationship. She's just the Yavam. Oh, for Kasavar, Ula figures like this. Ula holds that Zikas Arusa. When a Arusa falls Liyivam, and she's Zakuk, she's bound to the Yavam, in anticipation of Yivam, Oisa Safik Arusa. It creates a situation which is treated like a Safik Isha who's engaged. We're not sure how to treat it. She's sort of in limbo. Nor here, nor there. We treat it like a Safik Arusa, and as Rashi explains, even by a real Arusa, if she goes and sells her Nechasim, the sale holds. Certainly in the case of a Shemer Yisyam, which is only a Safik Arusa, because she can actually proceed and sell her properties. So that's the ratio of the Mishnah. His lien, his claim on her Nechasim isn't as powerful as if she was coming from a marriage, after having been married to the departed fellow. But in the Sefer, we're speaking about that very case. Zikas Nesua, where she is bound to Yibam after having been married to Reuven. Zikas Nesua Oisa Safek Nesua, creates a Safek Nesua, and we treat it like, you know, a Safek. We're not sure how to treat it. Do we treat it like Nesua or not? So in that case, we have a whole discussion in the Mishnah how to treat the claims and the liens and the properties. And that generates the machlokes between Risham. He says, you know, it's a suffix, 50-50, and we still take a different route. Explains the Gemara. Zikas Arusa, Oisa, suffix Arusa. She's coming from Erison. We treat it like a suffix Arusa. But not like a Vaday Arusa. Yisagadaytach Vaday Arusa, because if it would be like a Vaday, like we treat it like she's engaged to Yavam, how could they... How can we still say that you can actually go sell, she can give away her properties, lichatchila? If she was really treated like an arusa to the yavam, that wouldn't be allowed, lichatchila v'atanan. As we learned, so ordinary wife who's engaged to her husband, she gets nechasim at that point, she's allowed to sell lichatchila, she can't sell lichatchila, she's bound and obligated to her future husband. But Elu ve'elu moedim all agree she machra v'nos nakayim, she actually sold and gave away her properties, it works. But now Mishnah, we allow it, the chatchila, elo shma, you know, it's clear that we don't treat her like a vaday arusa, rather a zikas arusa, oisa safek arusa. And furthermore, in the seifa, we have the zikas nesua, which is oisa safek nesua, which creates a situation which is treated like an isha who's safek married. And therefore, we have to deal with it like a suffix, as Bisham and Bisilal do. These are Gadaitach Vade Nesua, because if it's considered like firmly married, Bisham and Omim Achloiku, Yerushia Baal and Yerushia Av, how do Bisham say that the family split the Nechasim? Once she's married, he gets full rights. But it's not enough for Nechasim Mishanissus. Phoenicia acquired assets after marriage, it goes to the husband. Elu Elu Moedim all agree. If she gives it away, Shabal Moitzi Meada Lekuches, Baal has the upper hand, he has priority, he can go and pull it out of the buyer's possession, because he has pay raise privileges even on her properties. So why is it in our Mishnah we don't apply that concept? Elishma, you know, it's clear that here we're just speaking about a Zika. After all, it's just the Yavama who's awaiting, anticipating Yibam. Zika as Nesua, a Zika of a Yavama who's coming from a marriage with Reuven, Oisa Safek Nesua creates a Safek Nesua, and that's why we have this Machlokes in the Mishnah. What do we do with these properties here? Bishama say, look, the Yavam and the Yavam have equal rights, so to speak. Each one of their claims has equal credence. And therefore, the route to take is Yachleku, and they still have a different approach. They say, look, fact is, she had these properties before she actually entered into marriage, into Yibam with the Yabam. She's a Muchsak. We give it to her. So bottom line is, we had a steer in the Mishnah, an apparent contradiction. In the Reisha, she gets full rights. In the Sefer, it's iffy. Ula's pshat is, the Reisha speaking, where she was coming from Erison. So the Yavam's Zuchus isn't so powerful. Whereas in the Sefer, she's coming off an Asuin, and therefore it's closer to marriage. His schus is more far-reaching, and therefore we treat it differently. Amalei Rabba, I don't understand. Why then does the Mishnah switch tracks? In the first case, she's alive. And then the Mishnah says, well, if she passed away, what should we do with the Nechasim? What does it have to do with passing away? According to you, it's just a question of where she's coming from. An Arusa or Nesua? Amalei Rabba, Adam Miflagi Begufa, Ulachar Misa. Instead of Beishame Mesilal, having a discussion regarding the guf, the actual, you know, property itself after she passes away, who gets it? Liflugu Bechaya Ola Paris. Why not just keep her alive and have the same discussion? The Sefer of the Mishnah should present the case like this. She's here, alive, and unmarried, meaning before Yibam. The question is, what to do with the peiros growing off our fields? And the Mishnah should say, look, since we're speaking about a safek nesuin, that generates a shaila, and we have bishama b'yisil. Why do we have to switch tracks and change the scenario from being alive to being mesa? That would somewhat provide an indication that it's the misa factor that's changing it. Why? Elamah Rabba takes on a different approach to the Mishnah. Idi in both cases, first part and second part of the Mishnah, we're speaking about the same type of case. She's coming off a marriage with Reuven. Nafluk she nesua, vezikas nesua, aisa safak nesua. The fact that she's meant for the yavam in this situation creates a safak nesuin situation. We're not sure who gets the rights, who has the upper hand. Who's going to be credited? Who's going to be granted these properties and these claims? Oh, so what's the difference between the Reisha and the Seif? Reisha, the Ihi Kaima, the first part of the Mishnah, when she is alive, certainly she gets the upper hand. You know why? Because even if you give the husband some rights, remember, his rights are limited. He gets peiros, but the keren, the guf, the karka, the actual assets belong to her. So in the case of a suffix, we look at who is more in possession. Who is the muhsik? In this regard, she's treated like a vade. She is certainly in possession of the actual property. The inhu suffix, they are just a suffix. So let's say Shimon, whatever, he's just a suffix. He wants to have the peiros. Vein suffix moitzim devadai. His doubtful claim can't prevail over her definite claim. And that's why she can just sell. She can do what she wants. But in the Sefer, we're speaking that she was Mesa. Right? This is Rabbi's emphasis. We see in the Sefer that Mesa changes the equation. You know why? Because in that case, the Isha, the Yivam, is no longer here. Right? Rather, there's litigation between both families. It's a different equation. Each one doesn't have something over the other. When she was around, the Karen belonged to her, the Guf belonged to her. So she's considered a Vate. Here, she passed away. Question: who's going to inherit her? Nechasim. Who's going to be Yerusha? Her family says me, us, and her husband's family say them. So it's sort of an equal claim. Halolu born Lirash. This family is coming to be Yerush. Valolu born Lirash. Likewise, the other family on the other side of the table are trying to do the same thing. Yachleiku. That's why we do Yachleiku. Ashit is Bishamay. And Basil disagree. They say, look, the fact is, this field is coming from where? It's coming from her family, from her father. So they're considered muhzakim. Okay, so in any case, that's Rabba's approach to the Mishnah. What changed between Reisha and Seifa? You know what the answer is? Misa. When she was alive, she's a muhzak. But when she's gone, it's just a question of who's going to be Yerush. Here we have to reckon with both claims. That explains Beishama is Yachlik, Eis V'Abai. According to Beis Shammai, You're telling me that even according to Beis Shammai, why is it that in the first case of the Mishnah, she's given full rights to the field because she's a Vaday and the Yavam is just a Safek? Does Beis Shammai follow that concept of Ein Safek Moitzi Min Vaday, a Safek claim can't prevail over a Vaday claim? But now we seem to have a Mishnah in Bava Basra which indicates otherwise. Nafal Abayis Olaval Aviv. The building collapsed upon this fellow and his father. His father was a wealthy fellow. The son had many creditors. He owed money to his wife for the ksuva. He owed Bal Chayiv money. And the question is, who died first? So there was a collapse upon himself and his father. Olav al Marishav, a different case, collapsed on the son and on somebody that can inherit properties to him, other than a father. But the concept, the principle is the same. V'hayu olav ksuvas isha bal chayiv. He owed money to the isha and to the bal chayiv. So what's the shayla? Yorish ya'av oimrim. The father is Yorishin. They claim as follows. Look, bal chayiv, isha, you have no rights to this property. Haben meis rishin. Because you know what happened? Mr. Son died first. V'achakach meis av. Then father died. In which case, son doesn't get anything. He passed away before father. So son's creditors have no claim against father's nechassim. It goes to us, or the brothers, the other sons of the father. U'ba'chayv, I remember, the b'chayv says, no, you got it wrong. Ha'am meis rishon. V'achach meis ha'ben. Just the opposite. Father died first, thereby inheriting his properties to his son, and then son died. We have claims on that property, because he owes us money. What do we do? B'shame ha'imrim, yachloiku. Each one has an equal claim, and they have to split it. No, leave the properties in the hands of the ones who are muhsik. Who's that? Rashi explains. The Yerushim of the father are muhsakim. Because even if the Baal Chayv has a right to collect, it's a whole lengthy legal procedure. He has to go to Bezdin, prove his case, and they go on, they allow him to collect. The Yerushim have direct rights on the property. They're called muhsik. Therefore they get it. End quote. That's the Mishnah. But here we have a case that Yerushi Avvade, as we explained, that the father's relatives have a direct claim, a definite claim. Ubal Chayiv, by him it's only a Safik. And what happens? What do Bishamay say? Because he's Safik, it might seem to Avvade. We give the Bal Chayiv rights, equal rights, despite the fact that he's a Safik. How's that? And since the Gemara here, it's different. Typically, Safek and Avadi don't match up. But if this fellow is in possession of a document, a shtar, that gives him legal rights, direct legal rights on those properties. It says, oh, he's in possession of those properties. Kesari b'shami, b'shami hold shtar, ha'imid likbois, a document, which is about to be used for collection. Kigabui dami, we treat it as though the properties were collected, as though the money was already in his hands. So he's called a muhsak and treated on the same plane and level as the other Yerushim. Therefore, it's 50-50. Rashi says, Kolaymar, Godoil koyach hashtar o kumoshe muhsak benachasim. We don't say, look, you're going to have to go to Bezdin and collect. You have a shtar that proves your case. It's a direct lien on that property. You are considered in possession of that property, just as the Yerushim. So it's an equal battle. And therefore we say 50-50. How do you know this chiddush that, according to Beis Shammai, shtar which is oimed the gobeis ki gobei dami? Where do we find this elsewhere, this nun? We have a good example in the following Mishnah. Meisub balein, ashalei shasu. So his husband warned his wife, don't go into hiding with that fellow. He did kinoi, and she did, stira. Next step is up to the Beis HaMikdash and drink those waters. Husband passed away before she was treated to the waters. What happens now? They have a right to collect the ksuba money. Even without drinking the water. They have a choice. Either drink, or they forfeit the ksuba. What do you mean drinking? There's no husband. Aisha, he says, behavior isha's ishta. I'm rachman of Allah. The Torah says, husband has to bring wife for the waters. We don't have the husband. Ella, rather, let's revise Basila. What they meant is like this. Says, because they are prevented from drinking due to the lack of the the husband's presence, loy noikles ksuvas, and they lose their ksuva. Okay, that's a discussion in the Masechta site. Now, what pertains to us is as follows. V'ahacha, here in our case, the safeku, the whole thing is really a safek, right? Safek zanoi, safek loy zanoi. We're not sure what happened here. Was she engaged in znus or not? And what happens? According to Beis Shammai, we say, despite the fact that she can't prove her innocence, there's no husband to feed her, to give it, to give the water, she collects her ksuva. Her rights to the ksuva is really in doubt. The fact is, she exhibited questionable behavior, which generated the suspicion, and hasn't yet been verified, hasn't been clarified. And still, what do we see? She can collect on that ksuva. She's only a suffik, and she go and collect the money and take it out of the Yerushim, who are in full possession of those nechasim, who have a definite right to those nechasim. How can we do that? Oh, this proves our point. A shtar is different. When she's holding a shtar, she has a direct lien and claim on those nechasim. She's not considered a suffik. Elishmami, no, we learn from here. Shtar oimus degabuis, kegabui dummy. A shtar, which you can collect with, is considered halachically as though you collected it already, as though you're in possession of those nechasim. Oh. So this proves that shtar is different, and therefore you can't ask from there onto our Mishnah. Says the Gemara, Abaye lo yisvei meho. When Abaye was questioning Rabbah's assertion that, even according to Beis Shammai, a suffik can't prevail over a vada, and he asked the kasha from the story of the house that collapsed, etc. We had to answer, shtar is different. Why didn't he ask from this Mishnah that we just mentioned? What's the advantage of this Mishnah? Rashi says, this Mishnah, but with the Saita, is in which Seder? It's our Seder Nashim. You should ask from there rather than from the Mishnah of the Nafal Abayis, which is in a different Seder in Baba Basra and Ezekiel. This Mishnah proves that according to Beis Shammai, a suffik claim is treated like a vaday claim. The fact is, we give the isha the ksuva. And says the Gemara, this wouldn't have been a kasha. We could have differentiated. Dilma ksuvas isha shani v'shemachina. Perhaps we're more lenient when it comes to allowing the isha to collect to ksuva. We want men to find favor in the eyes of women. They should be encouraged to marry the men, and not without concern of being shortchanged. So when it comes to collecting ksuba, we're more lenient and we give her extra rights. So that wouldn't really prove anything pertaining to our shaila of suffik and vade. Perhaps it's an exception because of ksuba. Relates to ksuba d'mas nisan. Ask the Gemara, skip the Mishnah of Baba Basra and the Mishnah in Saita. Go straight to our Mishnah, to our sugya. Relates to ksuba d'mas nisan. Abaye could simply ask like this. In our Mishnah we see a din that contradicts the concept of Ain suffik moiti midei vade. Ksuba. Look at the Mishnah. The second part of the Mishnah, you have the isha who passed away. And what do Beis Shammai say? The ksuba money is split equally between both families. As we explained, we're speaking about a woman who's anticipating yibum, a shemeres yibum. And she has a ksuba, a document in which it says when a husband passes away, he has to. He has to provide for his wife a certain amount of money, right? Here, Reuven already passed away. She has a right to that money, but now she was a Shemeres Yabam, and she passed away. Question is, who can lay claim to that, to those funds? Her family are claiming, look, pay up, Mr. Yabam, pay up. Mr. Yabam is saying, look, she was really my wife, and when a wife passes away, husband is the Irish. What do Beis Shammai say? Split it equally. What do you mean? The money is in his possession. He's the vaday. They're trying to extract that money. They're the suffik. Any suffik, moitzi midei vaday. Why do Beis Shammai say 50-50? Now Rashi points out here you can't say, well, when it comes to Ksuva, we're more sensitive to the women's plight because here she's no longer with us. So that wouldn't really apply. It's just her Yerushim laying claim. So why couldn't Abaye ask directly from our Mishnah? Answers the Gemara Chiddush. Listen to this. Loi pligi. You're right. Ksuba is not up for discussion. Even Beis Shammai agree. Husband's family keep the Ksuba money. Veloi really zomach leikas. What do you mean? Look at the Mishnah. Vaktani. Mishnah says Mesa when she passes away. Ma'yasu b'ksuvasa. What happens to the Ksuba? When Chasim hanachnasim yetsim even the other properties. Beis Shammai mech leiku. Even split. Yerushi Abal and Yerushi Av. What do you mean? It's clear in the Mishnah there's Yachlek even on the Ksuba. No, it goes to the Muchzik. Hachikamra, let's revise, let's relearn the Mishnah as follows. Mesa, she passed away. Ma Yasub Ksuvas. What happens to the Ksuba? Veshafkan, we abandon. We don't explain. Why? Because what we really mean to say is that Ksuba isn't really part of this arrangement. Ksuba remains in the husband's hands, in this case, the Yavam's hands, because he's a muhsik, it's a vade. This would fit perfectly with that formula of Ein Safik, in this case, the father's family, her family, Ein Safik, Moitzim Nevade, can't lay a claim against the person who's vade muhsik. So Ksuba is not really part of the equation. Nachasim, Nachnasim, Moitzim Imam, when it comes to other properties, there's the Machlaikis. Be'esham Rami Machlaik, they split it equally. Because those nechasim aren't really in anyone's possession. We're not sure where it's meant to go. Both sides have equal rights, so split it down the middle. Yachloiku Yerusha Baal and Yerusha Av. Mislaimim nechasim chaskasan. They consider it to be more in possession of the wife's family, because as we said, the fact is it came from her family. We consider them to be muhsik. The bottom line is, when it comes to ksuba, all agree, husband has control. Amar Rabashi Mas Nisan Namideka. If you take a close look at the wording in the Mishnah, you'll see. The ksuba is not part of the question. The Ketani, the Mishnah says, Yachloku Yerushi Abal, husband's family will split, you know, the Nichse Malug Im Yerushi Av with the Yerushi Av, meaning don't allow the Yerushi Av, her family, to take the entire thing. They come, they take half. Yerushi Abal take half away from them, so to speak. But like Ketani, it doesn't say the other way around, that when it comes to the ksuba, which is really in possession of the husband's family, that the Yerusha Av should come and split it in Yerusha Abal, which would indicate that her family is coming to take away from the Baal, they're coming to claim and get 50% of the Ksuba money. Apparently because they don't. That's why the Mishnah doesn't mention that. Shema Minah, it's a right that when it comes to Ksuba money, that's fully granted to the husband's family. Why? Because he's the Muchzik. It's his money. And Ein Safik, their Safik claim, can't override his Vade. Okay, so in summary, we had a Mishnah with two parts, a Reisha and a Seifa. We discussed the Nechasim of a Shemeres Yabam and a Ksuba. What do we do? In the Reisha, it belongs to her. In the Seifa, we have Machlekes. How do we explain this disparity between Reisha and Seifa? We have two approaches. Ula learns, the difference is because in Reisha, the Yavama came from an Erusin situation. So even when she's zakuk to the Yavam, it's not such a strong bond, and therefore we allow her to do what she wants with her nechasim. Whereas in the Seifa, she was previously married to Reuven, who passed away without children, in which case, coming off a marriage into a Yibam creates that a stronger bond, that's a safek nesu'in, and that generates the machlekes between Mishama. You say, you know what, go 50-50, and we still make that difference between the ksuba, which is sort of in the husband's possession, and the nechasim in her family's possession. When it comes to Rabba's approaches, and both were speaking about the same type of case, an identical Yavama coming off in a suin. Difference is that in the Reisha, she's alive, and therefore she's considered a muhsak. It's really her property. At most, the husband has payrus rights. She's called a vada, he's called a safik, and she holds on to everything. When it comes to the Seifa, we're speaking that she was Mesa. She's no longer around. And both families are sort of wrestling the properties and the claims and the Ksubas. What do we do? So that generates the Machlekes between Beshama Yusei Yachleku, as Rabba, at the Gemara, concludes that that doesn't pertain to the Ksuba, because in that case, you can't take money. You can't be Moitzi money from the husband's family in the case of a suffik. In suffik meis midadi. So ksuba certainly goes to the husband's family. When it comes to the other properties, it's a case of a suffik v'suffik, because she's not around, right? The isha herself, the owner is not around. It's just a question of who's going to be yerush the owner. So Beis Shammai treat both sides equally, and each one has an equal claim, 50-50. Beis Hillel say, look, the ksuva, I agree, of course, goes to the husband's family. But when it comes to the other properties, the fact is, you know, it was part of their estate. It came from them. And therefore, we consider them to be the primary muhzakim, and they take possession of these properties. Okay, let's conduct a brief chazor of today's daf. We started with a shaila regarding Yerusha, properties which are being contested. There's a shaila of who's the rightful Yerush. We have a case of a fellow doing a quick Yibum without waiting through the 3-month interval between marriages. A child is born. We're unsure as to whether he's Reuben or Shimon's child. He's called a Suffolk. He's having a discussion with the Yavam regarding the Nechasim of grandfather. The halacha is the Yavam is Zoicha, he has the upper hand because he's a Vadai. The Safek and the children of Shimon are discussing the Nechasim of the grandfather. Safek says, look, I'm Reuven's child, I get half in lieu of my father Reuven. But the Yavam say, look, you're our brother, we split it three ways. Each one gets a third, what do we do? So the Mar says, well, they certainly get a half because that he's giving them in either case. He gets a third either way, and the other part, the sixth, they split. If the grandfather and Shimon are discussing the nechassim of the Safik, Yavam says, he's my child. Saba says, no, he's Reuven's child, and I get, instead of Reuven, who's no longer here, Yachleku. And the same is when the Saba and the Safik are discussing the nechassim of the Yavam, Yachleku. We proceeded with the case of a Shimeris Yavam, Isha who's awaiting Yibam, who got a hold of some nechassim. What to do? In case number one, she has full rights. In case number two, we have Machlekes, Bisham and Bisilal. We have two approaches in the Gemara, one Ula, one Rava, how to explain the difference between the two cases. All the best to you and much, much haslacha.